Amen.
I tell you, I just thank the Lord for the traveling mercies on the highway. Over 2,000 miles we've drove. And I tell you, it was warm in South Carolina. And I'm cold out this way. I didn't bring any winter clothes. But we drove through Texas, and I think from beyond between Dallas and Midland on to El Paso. It was snow just everywhere, and even the, one of the lanes of the interstate was just iced over. I mean, really, it just, you wouldn't have thought that. In fact, I stopped there in Midland to talk to an old gentleman, and he said that they hadn't had snow there in 15 years. And so it's amazing. So, I didn't bring the cold with me. I run into it. But I sure appreciate the privilege of being here today. And I have enjoyed these testimonies and songs so much. And I'm not used to that doctor stuff. They gave me an honorary doctorate. I'm just an old country boy.
Amen.
Saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
I appreciate the fact that He is so merciful, and I bless His name.
Amen.
Let's take a Bible this morning and turn to the book. By the way, I don't know what to, how to kind of preach today, because it's 1:36. I ain't usually preaching at this time. I never changed my watch since I left home. But, brother, your anniversary is going to be here about 25 minutes, so if you want to have a spell about then, that'll be okay. Okay. But, anyhow, I just want to remind the Lord, the book of Micah, in the Old Testament, minor prophets, of course, they're not minor as far as in their work, but just maybe in their length, the book of Micah. And I want you to turn there with us, and we're going to read just the last three verses of that little book of Micah. All right, and if you'll turn there. And thank you, Brother Bill, for letting us come. Appreciate the motel room the church provided for us to stay. My daughter, I'm taking her out here, and I've kind of got mixed emotions about that, but I appreciate y'all praying for her. She'd find the right church and everything there in the area. God knows what the need is. The book of Micah, chapter number 7. And I want to look at the last three verses. Before I do read, let me say that the move of God in our church this year is still amazing. And there's no way that I could even begin to even tell you what God did. But I will tell you just a little bit. The Lord sovereignly and spontaneously set out at our church in a most unusual way. I've been there for 33 years, and I've never seen anything like it. It began sort of around the week after Christmas. We sent our young people to a Bible camp. And they went there, and God dealt with their heart. They surrendered to the Lord, teenagers now. And they came back. I had a meeting scheduled with an older man of God in his mid-60s, and it was supposed to be first week of February. The young people came back from Bible camp, fired up, and they got to praying. And just meeting themselves, not for sports, not for entertainment, but just got to meeting in the church, teenagers are praying every night for God to send revival. And for 3 solid weeks before the meeting started, they were there every night praying, God send revival. And on the Sunday morning before the meeting was supposed to start Monday night, I got a telephone call early, about 6 o'clock. And the evangelist had had a massive heart attack. And I said, well, what am I going to do? We've been praying, the young folk have been praying, and we've been expecting God. And so the young people had heard this young man preach. Well, he's not so young, but I guess comparatively he was young in his maybe mid to later 20s. Heard him preach at the Bible camp, and it really stirred them. And I'd never heard him. I'd met the man. And so I called, and he had the date open, so he came. We started, and God began to move so preciously the first 2 nights, and the Holy Ghost fell. And we have an altar on both sides of our church. It's a little wider than this, but it's a wood altar, a little wider. And about that length, there's 2 on each side of our pulpit. God moved, and people got to to repenting, and I stepped down out of that pulpit, and I looked on both sides, and it was a solid lake of tears.
Amen.
I'm talking about a solid lake of tears, people weeping. And on the third night, the young people, youth choir, got to singing this song. God's been good in my life. I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams as I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, by my side He's always stood. Through it all, God's been good. The teenagers got to sing in our youth choir, got to sing in that, worshiping, tears streaming down their faces, waving their hand, a praise in God while they were singing, and the Holy Spirit of God moved in that service. Conviction settled all over the place. People got to run into the altars, weeping, getting right. And God got to, and from that night, on the third night, for the next 9 weeks, they sang that song every night, sometimes an hour and a half at a time, while the Holy Ghost and the preacher sometimes preached, sometimes didn't preach. A lot of times they even took a text, just directed traffic. God gave an invitation. The church was filled with 500 or 600 people a night. We couldn't even park the people. They came from everywhere, from 6 or 7 different states. God was a drawing miraculously. There was a unity and a harmony there. We went 9 weeks and had 111 saved and that we know of. Probably 200 or 300 people getting right with God. God putting families back together one night. I'll never forget this. One night, had a couple came in that were divorcing. She sat way over here. We have 5 rows of pews. She sat over this corner. And he came in on the other side. Neither one of them knew the other one was there. The Holy Ghost moved on those young people. God's been good. And I'm telling you, you could see it. Their faces was aglow and the tears was a streaming and they was a worshiping. People were falling in the altars. And that old woman, oh, she wasn't old, she was, I guess, a younger woman, maybe in her late 20s. She came down the aisle just weeping, got born again over here behind the organ. Amen. Got born again. So, he'd come down there and pray this, and they was all standing, they couldn't have seen. He'd come down on the other side and got saved. And God saved them both at that same night and put them back together.
Hallelujah.
And since then, their family's back together and they got another youngin' on the way and they're praising God and they're living for Jesus. I had so many wonderful privileges. We had people get saved everywhere. We had some folk get saved. Had folk get saved in the aisle, in the altar, on the podium, in the bathroom, in the vestibule. Had people get saved in the parking lot. Had one old boy got saved under his van. I got under conviction and crawled under his van and begged God to save him. It was just amazing. So many things God did. It's a wonderful thing. Wonderful. Just God just sat down and we had 8 surrender to preach that we know of, and 1 surrendered to the mission field, and God just did a work of strengthening. Had an old missionary preacher, you told me to share a little bit about this, had an old missionary been on the field for 60 years, an old Southern Baptist missionary, been out down in South America, had come into that meeting, and that old man of God was down a weeping. I'm telling you, he's weeping and getting help to that altar. And he said, I didn't know Baptist worship like this anymore. I have longed for this for many a decade.
Amen.
God a moving by His power. It was so holy an affair that the more you tell it, you almost cheapen it by trying to tell it, but God moved. And so it was just, you couldn't really, let me tell you this, but that evangelist preached the same message in the same revival meeting, same outline, 3 times in the same. I wouldn't have done that, but God had it done. And every night He preached it, somebody got saved. God's just moving. We couldn't send the people. We couldn't get them in. The parking lot, I mean, we had, it's amazing. God just did it. He just sat down. It wasn't planned. It wasn't advertised. I mean, God just sat down and drew them in from everywhere. One night, I will tell you this, I've got to move on. But as a pastor being there for years and years, and that church packed slap out, I guess it probably 500 or 600 people there that night. I'm sitting up here about what this little lady is in the red, and I look back across the there, Vance is sitting beside him, said, "Ah, look at this crowd. Ain't that something? God's doing something." I don't know, I may have been getting a little exalted, you know, the old flesh. But there's an old boy, our church is, has a terrible disease. I don't know what he's got, Angela. Cerebral palsy. He's so bad, he most-type electric wheelchair, he's in state-run home, and he's in his 30s. Only he's got enough dexterity just to push a joystick to operate an electric chair. And he can't even talk, but he's saved. He said, "We are love Jesus!" Amen. This is the way he talks. And I'm just telling you, that's how crippled he is. But he came that night, he sat right here, and we had a little cutout place for on the front rows for our folk that are wheelchair. The young people were up singing. There wasn't nothing going on much. They were singing. This old boy, little old boy, he rolled out of that chair. He doesn't have enough dexterity to crawl. He squirmed like a worm up under that communion table.
Jesus!
About the time the power of God fell and the glory. And if I could have found a hole, I would have crawled in it. It was so humiliating to the flesh. And the pastor, the evangelist, was prostrate. The singers were prostrate. The young people were coming out of the altar, out of the choir, falling and crying. And people coming down and getting right with God, right one with another, getting saved. God just sat down.
Amen.
And anyway, we went. We went for 9 weeks. How we did it, we went Monday through Friday. We took a break on Saturday night. The young people came together every Saturday night to pray. We start Sunday morning, regular service Sunday night, go Monday through Friday, take a break each Saturday for the young people to pray. Of course, people get the groceries. Went 9 weeks. And when that thing closed, it was like the best way I can explain it, it was like a funeral service of a godly saint. There was bitterness, and there was, I mean, not bitterness, but there was grief, and there was glory.
Amen.
I mean, it was like, I mean, there was victory, but there was sadness. The young people wept and cried that it was over. I mean, have you ever seen anybody weep and cry because the meeting has come to a close? But there was glory.
Amen.
But since that time, it's been amazing what God's done at the church. And we've seen folks saved in that meeting. Out of those 111, most of those people were people from other churches in the area that got in there. We had probably, I guess, a dozen or more saved in our local church. And some we've been praying for 16 years got saved.
Amen.
I mean, that's amazing. God just, He still can. The key to it was young people on fire for God. And I bless the Lord for it. I'm glad He let me get in on it. And I'm glad He's real.
Yes, sir.
And it was. I'm telling you, God did great things. And like I said, there's so many things that happened. I got to lead a husband to and a wife to God at the same time. Never done that in my life. They came down. She was all tore up. This girl was. And her husband came with her. And she was just talking. I was telling her how to get saved, went through the plan of salvation. She just thought, I said, "All right, now you pray." And the husband said, Preacher, I'm in the same shape she is." I said, "Well, you heard what I told her, didn't you?" And she said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, you do the same thing we all." And they got saved at the same time.
Amen.
Husband and wife together. Hallelujah. Had your baby in the nursery, and God just saved them. And I said, "Glory to God, He still can."
Amen.
But like I said, it was spontaneous. It was sovereign. God didn't do it because of us. He did it in spite of us.
Amen.
And I bless His name. God still can. Don't you tell me the days of revival's over.
Right.
There's the Holy Ghost is still in the. Amen. And the Word of God's still here, and the church is still here.
Amen.
That's all you need to have revival.
Yeah.
Amen. Glory to God. Well, let's see. Let me get to the verse. All right. There's my testimony a little bit about the meeting. I honor what the pastor said. Now, preacher, it's 1:49, my time. Now, how long do I preach?
Do I preach to 1:49 your time?
Oh, well, I'll try not to. I'll be like Liz Taylor. I won't keep, said to her last husband, I won't keep you long. Some of y'all will get that. All right. Yeah. I won't keep you long. The book of Micah. Now we've got our places. Let's stand together now in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. And Brother Howard, I'm so glad we've invested in this ministry. It's such a blessing to see what God's doing out here. I'm so thrilled what He's doing. I appreciate you. Just keep on and keep it on.
Amen.
Micah chapter 7, let me read verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which Thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for the privilege of being here today. The wonderful testimonies and songs of Zion and fellowship with the saints of God. Thank You, Lord, for Your mercy and grace. I bow in Your presence. I plead the blood of Jesus. I ask You, God, to search my heart. Purge me from anything that would hinder the work of God. Lord, fill me with the Spirit of God and on us today. Let us, Lord, preach Your Word under the anointing of God, that it might minister grace to the hearer. And Lord, we'll praise You for all that You do for us. And may everything redound to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we pray in His blood-stained name. Amen and amen. Thank you. Be seated. Amen. For the title of the message today, I'm interested in what is said in the last part of verse number 18. It says, because He delighteth in mercy. He delighteth in mercy. If He didn't, I wouldn't be here today.
Amen.
If He didn't, you wouldn't be here today.
Amen.
It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed.
Amen.
His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness, O
Amen.
God. He delights in mercy. And I look here at the book of Micah, and these last three verses of the book of Micah seem to break forth into a psalm of praise. As he begins, who is a God like unto thee? That statement may be even a play upon Micah's very name, which means, who is like the Lord? Well, among the ways you might describe God or attributes you might attribute to God, I want to tell you one thing stands forth greatly in these verses, and that is, of all that you can say about God, is that God delights in mercy. It is never said of the Lord that He delights in wrath. In fact, wrath, according to Isaiah 28:21, is called God's strange word. He does have wrath, and the wrath of God will be revealed against unrighteousness, and there will be a recompense. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. But that's not God's desire. That's not what God wants or wishes. What God delights in is not wrath, but God delights in of mercy. In mercy, and I'm glad that He does today. Now, as we approach the Scriptures today, let me just give a simple, just real simple definition of mercy that's workable for this message. Mercy is simply the kindness of God shown to the guilty. Amen. Kindness shown to the guilty. And I want to expound here upon the mercy, and really the Scripture, I want to expound it upon that premise of God's mercy. I won't preach all of this text. I haven't time. But in verse number 18, you have the character of God's mercy. In verse number 19, there you have the conquest of God's mercy. Hallelujah. He will subdue our iniquities. And in verse number 20, you have the covenant of God's mercy. And He mentions Jacob and Abraham and how God had sworn to the fathers. But today I'll just deal with the first verse and verse 18 and talk about the character of God's mercy. The character of God's mercy. Now look at the text with us. As we think about the mercy of God, I look at this verse and it starts out with, "Who is a God like unto thee?" Now, thinking about mercy, I would say this about God's mercy. It is a peculiar mercy. Amen. Peculiar. Who is a God? Who are you going to compare Him with? What are you going to compare it with? It's it's incomparable. You can't compare it with anything.
Amen.
Hey, it's a peculiar mercy. In the book of Exodus, chapter 34, if you want to turn with us there, I wish you would. I want to read something there as you think about the mercy of God. The mercy of God. Now, we're not talking about the mercy of man. Man can have some mercy. Man has a mercy. Judges have mercy. Sometimes police officers have mercy. Sometimes that highway patrol will have mercy. And instead of giving you a ticket when you know darn well you're guilty,
right,
He'll give you a warning, right? He shows mercy. But we're not talking about man's mercy. We're talking about God's mercy. Now, back in the book of Exodus, chapter number 34, I will read there. In chapter 33, the chapter before this, God's man, Moses, was asking God to show me thy glory. You know that? And in the last part of that chapter, God said that you can't see my face, but I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand. And I'll take away my hand and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Now you can hit him in the cleft of the rock. But in chapter 34, I believe is what a description of what Moses saw when God took his hand away, in my understanding of it. But look at verse number 6. And it says, "And the Lord passed by before him." All right. "And proclaimed the Lord." Now that's just simply Jehovah.
Amen.
Anytime you see the word capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D in your King James Bible, it's always a translation of the Hebrew word Jehovah, or it's Jehovah. Now when you see capital L, little O-R-D, that's Adonai. And of course God is L, or and several other compounds. But the word capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D is Jehovah. So he says the Lord, and then it is the Lord God, Lord Gergen, Jehovah God, El, hey, Elohim, Jehovah Elohim. Now that's his name, Jehovah, Jehovah Elohim. But now, after giving his name, the first thing that is said about God is what? Say it.
Merciful.
Amen? And gracious in me. And long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth.
mercy. You're talking about something unique. You're talking about something peculiar in a class all of its own. I'm telling you, you're talking about a revelation of God's glory. A revelation of God's glory first involves His mercy. If you see God's glory, the first thing you'll see is God's mercy.
Amen. Praise God. Mercy is a part of the glory of divine essence. You know, they have peculiar ways of talking all over the country. My daughter was mentioned just earlier, and this wasn't critical, just an observation, how that when you listen to people talk from this church, you can tell they're from different parts of the country. I mean, really. Well, and everybody has, you know, their little ways of colloquialisms and little things to, that they say that's unique to the area which they grew up in. But when I was thinking about God's mercy being in unique in a class all, you can't. What would you compare God's mercy with?
I mean, the mercy of a judge that would say pardon maybe a criminal. I mean, that's one thing, and then the mercy of a highway patrol letting you off with a warning. That's mercy. But when you talk about the mercy of God, you're talking about something higher than the heavens are above the earth. I'm talking about the mercy of God that's in a class all of its own. Who is like the Lord?
Amen.
What are you going to compare Him with? Listen at me. God is not the best. He's beyond that.
Amen.
Best is a comparative term. Good, better, best. That's comparative. He ain't at the top of the line. Bless God, He's in a class all by Himself.
Down in Columbia, South Carolina, and I don't mean this is not racist, this is just the way it is. Everybody down in Columbia, South Carolina, talk like black folk. They really do. The white and black. They don't call that a door, they call that a dope.
Yeah.
And that's not the floor, that's the flow. Yeah. And they have some unique sayings down in Columbia, South Carolina. One thing I picked up on while I was down there, I wanted to borrow a shelf one day. I said, yep, can I borrow that shelf? I said, yep, Rich, you can borrow that shelf, but it's the onlyest one I got. I said, it's what? The onlyest one I got. Onlyest. Now, y'all going to learn a South Carolina colloquial term, onlyest. That's not good English, but I mean, instead of the only one, it's the onlyest. Well, when you talk about God, He's not in a class, my friend, compared to anybody else. He's the onlyest.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I am the Lord. Beside me, there is none other.
Amen.
Hey, when you talk about the mercy, you're talking about the mercy of God, amen. Higher than mercy that reached down in the depths of our pit and lifted us up. We that deserve hell. Mercy, the reason I'm here. Mercy. It is a peculiar mercy. Second thing it is stated here in our text, who is a God like unto thee? Not only is it a peculiar mercy, but the next thing He says, that pardoneth iniquity. That pardon, His mercy is not only a peculiar mercy, His mercy is a pardoning mercy. But that pardoneth iniquity. Now back there to Exodus where we were reading a while ago, you read on in there, and He says, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And look at this. And that will by no means clear the guilty. Wait a minute. How are you going to reconcile that to what's said here? When you read that Exodus 34, a further revealing of God's glory tells of His justice. Preacher talks so wonderfully upon God's righteousness and His righteous demands of the law. And there's got to be a vindication of the broken law. Yeah. Now, if God will by no means clear the guilty, how is it that God can pardon? His justice demands that sin be punished wink at sin. He will not, my friend, let sin go by unpunished. All sin is and will be punished. But how is it that God can pardon? Because it said in our text that who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity. The answer, I believe, is in the word pardoneth. It is the Hebrew word. A little short, the English spelling of the Hebrew word is nasa. That word nasa, N-A-S-A. That word nasa means to lift, to pick up, to bear, to carry away.
Amen.
It is the word that is used in describing what took place on the great day of atonement. When the high priest went in that one time a year behind the second veil, first with an offering for his own sin, the oxen, you know, and then he went out and there were two kids of the goat. And they cast lots. And one would be what they called the scapegoat, and the other would be what would be offered. They'd slay that goat and carry the blood within. Behind the second veil was the Ark of the Covenant, and over it the mercy seat. And he would come and sprinkle seven times on the ground, and then seven times there on the mercy seat. You see, the Ark of the Covenant contained the Decalogue. And the picture is like this. The law was saying, justice, judgment, justice, judgment. But when that high priest came in and sprinkled blood on the mercy seat, and the Shekinah cloud, the glory cloud, spiraling over there, it's as if God looked down at the law crying justice and judgment, and he saw blood on the mercy seat. Amen. And that blood spoke to God of the day that he would send his son who would be made sin for us and bear our iniquities and pay our punishment and pay our debt and take it on himself. Praise God. And God would look down on that and said, I'll pass by another year. But then he'd go outside and that high priest would take and lay his bloody hands upon the scapegoat and confess all the sins of the people of Israel. He confessed all their sins. And that scapegoat would, the Bible said, bear away. They would carry him by the hands of a fit man off into the wilderness and drive him off, my friend, never to be seen no more. And that scapegoat bore away. Hello? That's the same word, pardoneth. What? How is it that God can pardon our sin and not punish us? The reason God, how God can do that, he punished his son for my sin. His son got under the load of he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. He took our place, for God had made him to be sin for us. Who did all sin? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God punished his son in our stead. That's how God can pardon. In other words, what I'm saying to you, friend, as pardon is rooted in the cross, and forgive. And let me, you have to hear what I'm saying carefully. Brother and sister, in a sense of the word, there's no such thing as forgiven sin in a narrow sense of the word. Just a narrow sense. Every sin will be punished. Every sin. There's no such thing as any sin given by God. He will punish sin. His justice, his holiness demands it. What about that?
That's right, preacher.
Our forgiveness, my friend, doesn't mean our sin wasn't punished.
Yeah.
But our forgiveness means that God took the punishment himself.
Yeah.
Amen. He punished his son for my low-down ways and your low-down ways. He punished his son for my sin so that he could forgive me and set me free. Yeah. I've been set free on what Jesus did.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
That's the mercy of God. His pardoning mercy is rooted in the cross. God forgives because of Calvary. By the way, on the cross, Jesus became sin for us. I ask you this, some of you older fellas, you ever done like I've done? You ever got a magnifying glass out on a sunny day and burnt your initials in a piece of wood? You ever done that? Anybody? Yeah, you've done that. Yeah, you can take that. You can take that magnifying glass. You can lay a piece of wood out there in the sun all day long and it won't ever do that. But you get that magnifying glass, or even your glasses, and you can make you can concentrate the light beam to a focal point, a source. Mm-hmm. And it'll set that wood on fire. Mm-hmm. And you can literally burn with a... Now, don't set the woods on fire. You know, I see now they're just a grin. He said, well, I'm going to try that, but I'm going to watch him. He'll be burning my house special.
You know how you do that?
I can see his little mind just a clicking. He's going to try that out now. But what I want you to see is what it does, it focuses all of the light beams to a central point. And that's the reason. Can I tell you, when Jesus was on the cross, God concentrated all the wrath that our sins demanded to be vindicated. God brought all the vengeance, all the wrath in a concentrated form because He was more than a man that hung on Calvary. Right. He was the God-man, 100% God and 100% man. And God brought all the wrath of every one of our sins upon Jesus.
Amen.
The sinner that rejects Christ, my friend, will pay for his own sin and never get it paid for. Uh-huh. And what sends people to hell is not the fact they're sinners. What sends them to hell is the fact they've rejected God's salvation. I mean, that's it. I mean, the greatest gift's ever been given, God gave, and God will send men to hell because they trampled underfoot the blood of Christ. Jesus is the determination between life and death.
Amen.
He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. But Jesus pardoned us because He took our place. He paid a debt I couldn't pay. He paid a debt He didn't owe. Amen? Yes, so I could go free. It is a pardoning mercy. I must hurry on. Number three, it is a Passover mercy. Look in our text. That pardoneth iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage. Now, when it says that He passes by the transgression, it does not mean that God is unobservant of sin or unoffended by sin. He certainly is offended by it.
Right.
But He passes by because the debt has been paid.
Amen.
When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That Old Testament historical event was prophetical in nature, pointing to the finished work of Calvary's Lamb. When God applies the blood to the lintel of our doorpost and lintel of our heart, my friend, I'm telling you, God sees me, but He sees the blood of His Son, and God passes over because He sees the payment has been made.
Amen.
We're talking about the mercy of God. It is a peculiar mercy.
Amen.
It is a pardoning mercy. It is a Passover mercy. But let me say something else. It is a pacifying mercy.
Amen.
Look in the next part of this verse. He retaineth not His anger forever. Now, let me say this about God's anger. Preacher touched on it this morning. Anger in God is not passion. but principle.
Right.
His anger against sin stems from his holiness and his justice. But when that debt was paid at Calvary, God's justice was forever satisfied for those in Christ.
Amen.
And God is so satisfied, He will never be angry with us anymore. Because He's so satisfied with what Jesus did. You know, back
the all the wonderful shadows of time, you've been preaching months and years on it. When that high priest went in and all the tabernacle furnishings and all of that, in all the tabernacle, there wasn't no place for that priest to sit down. There wasn't no chairs.
Right.
The only seat in the whole place was the mercy seat, and it was occupied by the Shekinah glory cloud. He couldn't sit there.
Amen.
The Old Testament saints, the Old Testament high priest and priest, they had no place to sit. Why is that? Because the work was never done.
Amen.
All those offerings were shadows and types of the real, the substance to come. But then it had to be redone every year. It had to be done over and over again. Because all he could do was point a finger to what was on the way. One day John Baptist saw him coming and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Not covering, not just whitewashing, but takes it away. Amen.
Praise the Lord, brother.
Amen. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, speaking of Jesus and the offering that he made, that said, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down."
Amen.
Hey, we have a high priest that is passed in the heavens, Jesus Christ the righteous. He went into heaven with his own blood, not the blood of bulls and goats, no, his own blood. It was the blood of God. And my friend, there at God's altar, there on God's mercy seat, Jesus presented his own blood. And God said, "That's enough. That's enough. I'll accept that forever. It won't ever have to be done again. It's settled forever." And so he offered one sacrifice for sin forever.
Amen.
Sat down.
Amen.
Where did he sit? Personally, I believe he sat on that mercy seat.
Amen.
And I believe that mercy seat is now a throne of grace, according to Hebrews chapter 4, where we can come and find grace to help in time of need. Hallelujah for the high priest that we have. I'm telling you, his mercy is a peculiar mercy, a pardoning mercy, a Passover mercy, a pacifying mercy. God will never be angry with us anymore because of what Jesus has done, and God will not exact a double payment. My friend, when you come to the Christ paying it, God was so satisfied with it, it won't ever have to be redone, revamped, or renewed. It's settled. He paid for all my sins.
Amen.
Past, present, and future.
Amen.
In fact, when he died on the cross, all my sins were in the future.
Amen.
The old fellow saying, "I'm not on an ego trip. I'm nothing on my own. Make mistakes, I often slip. Just common flesh and bone. But I'll prove someday just why I say I'm of a special kind. For when he was on the cross, I was on his mind." I like this. "He knew me." Yes, he did. Yet, he loved me. "He whose glory makes the heaven shine, so unworthy of such mercy. For when he was on the cross, I..."
his mind. Aren't you glad that he had us on his mind and his heart? He paid for our sin. He knew who we were. He knew that we would accept him. He took our sin. He paid our sin debt. He tasted death for every man. He who was holy, harmless, and undefiled, separate from sinners, became God's pure lamb to take away the sins of the world. Hallelujah! I'm glad for his mercy.
Amen.
And I end here. And not only his mercy, a peculiar mercy, a pardoning mercy, a pleasing mercy. Hey, it is. Because it says here, because he delighteth in mercy. God delights in it.
Amen.
God is excited about it. God is thrilled. God's not stingy. God's not wanting to withhold. He's wanting to show. I mean, when I say this reverently in my mouth way, it tickles God. Hallelujah. To show mercy.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's a plea. He delights in it. It is God's joy to be merciful.
Right.
God's joy. I mean, it rejoices God's heart to be merciful. It's his glory to pardon. I'm done. Let me end the message with this. And if I get the song leader, musicians, y'all just come on. Make your way here. We're going to sing. Come on, brother. We'll sing an invitation. But let me just end the message this way. We're talking about his mercy. I quoted this at the beginning of the message, but this is one of my favorite texts in the book of Lamentations. The book of Lamentations is a weeping, sorrowful, lamenting book. Jerusalem's destroyed, carried off captivity. The gates have been burned and everything's been wrecked. And the whole thing is, you know, lamenting. Is it nothing to you, O ye that pass by and see my sorrow? And all the weeping, lamenting, all the way through the book. But right in the very middle of that book, right in the very middle, seems like Jeremiah pushes aside the tears and looks up and said, you know, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed.
Amen.
For his compassions fail not. Did you know that was true about Jeremiah? But it's also true about you.
Amen.
And it's true about me. It is of the Lord's mercy that we're not consumed.
Right.
He delights in mercy. By the way, the reason I'm not already in hell,
Amen.
I would have already been there, is because he delights in mercy.
Amen.
The reason that I, my friend, and here this morning is because he delighteth in mercy. The devil's love destroyed us, would love to wreck us. But God's mercy has kept us. The reason God sent his Son is because he delights in mercy. The reason for Calvary is because God delights in mercy. The reason he received us is because God delights in mercy. And the reason he keeps us is because he delights in mercy. Pastor, you've been saved now. Praise God, you just had a spiritual birthday 22 minutes ago.
Amen.
I've been preaching now for 41 years. Going on 42. I'm 60 years old. I know I don't look but 20, but I'm just cutting up now. But seriously, I have been preaching a long time. There's been a lot of dangers, a lot of terrible valleys and dark places to walk through. Preacher, I'm still in the race.
Amen.
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 Amen, brother. You carried the light here to this town and this church.
Amen.
16 years. All them days when you didn't have but just your family, just one or two.
Amen.
You carried on.
Amen.
You know how come you're still in it?
Amen.
It ain't because you're so strong or so big or so good. It's because God delights
Amen.
In mercy.
Yes,
the reason I'm still in the ministry after all these years is not because I'm so smart or good or special. It all bounced down to this. He
Amen.
Delights in mercy.
Amen.
Let's stand our feet all over the house. And more, if you're here today and you've never been saved, you know what you need to do? You need to do like the old publican did. He didn't go down there and tell God how good he was. He just went down there and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the kind of prayer God will hear. And he delights in, that's why he delights in saving folk, because he delights in mercy. And if you've got a need as a Christian, boy, you just need some mercy, I just come down here and talk to God about it, because he delights in giving mercy. So just seek his face. Let's bow and pray. Our Father, in Jesus' name, take the message and testimonies and song, and Lord, in the word of God we've tried to preach, and the word that our pastor taught to us today, God, take it. Use these things, God, to minister grace to the hearer. And thank you, Lord, that you do delight in mercy.
Yes.
And we have experienced it. And Lord, we think about the mercy of God endureth forever, you said. And I bless your name that you're never going to run out of mercy. I bless your name. And Lord, take the word today and bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll turn that service over to Pastor Howard. God bless you. Thank you for letting us.
Go and take your hand and we'll turn to page 157. Page 157.
Amen.
Jesus paid it all.
Understand, but it's been funny. You need the mercy of God if you're lost.
If you don't accept the mercy of God through faith in Jesus Christ, then you die lost. That might be your own sins. Pretty simple, pretty plain. God's merciful. God loves us. God cares about us. If He didn't care, if He didn't love us, according to John 3:16, He did love us. He loved, so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
But God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. God wants to save the whole world and save every sinner. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffered to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God loves you this morning. God's merciful toward you. His Son died for you. If you need to trust Him as your Lord and Savior, today would be a good day to do it.
Yes, sir.
If the Spirit of God spoke to your heart this morning and said, you need to go to that little old altar up there and get saved, you need to come. You're a child of God in here this morning, the devil's told you you've done something bad and God won't forgive you. You need to come to this little altar and confess it to God because He promised to forgive you.
Right?
He promised in His Word over and over and over again that He'd forgive you. You repent of your sin, confess your sin to Him, ask His forgiveness. He's faithful and just to forgive you, cleanse you from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
I'm thankful for the mercy of God.
Yes, sir.
Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Amen. We have a Christian in here to say the same thing. We've come thus far, we are what we are, because God's worked in us both will do His good pleasure. He's had mercy upon us, give us grace. What a message. You need to respond to it. Let's sing another verse, Brother Jones. Obeyed the Lord or not. I feel like not time to leave yet. I don't know. I don't know what else to do. And I know God ain't going to force you to get right or confess your sins or get saved either one, but He offers you salvation. He offers you forgiveness. And I'm thankful that He can because of what the Lord did for us. Wasn't that good? I'm not tooting Brother Smith's horn this morning. I'm just saying that was a message from God this
Amen.
Morning.
Yes, sir. Thank you,
Pastor. Amen. It's a message from God. And so you need to listen to it and take heed to it and be a doer of the Word, not hearers only, seeing yourselves. Amen. Thank you, preacher, for preaching this morning. I feel strange. About like you was talking about ending that revival meeting, you know. I just feel like somebody needs to do something this morning, say something or do something, you know, I don't know. Yes, sir.
I know I'm saved, but I've been away from Christ for so long, and I've lost every way of my life close to death. All I have left is my son. And I just ask God, please have mercy on
his
soul.
Amen.
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 When you come
drunk, to me. Yes, Lord. Amen, Sister Wood. We need to put Sister Wood's son on the prayer list. What's his name, Sister Wood?
John.
I'm sorry. I'm deaf, Sister Wood.
Amen. I'd just like to thank God for delivering me from a life of drugs.
Amen.
Alcohol. From so much sin, wicked.
Amen, Brother Robert. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for His mercy.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody else still needs to do something. I don't know what you need to do, but God's speaking somebody's heart and needs to do something this morning. I don't know. I'm no prophet nor son of a prophet, I guess, but I know that when the Spirit of God's doing something, the Lord's doing something this morning. Do you know what it is? Yes, Brooke Hill.
I just want to thank the Lord for not ever giving up on me. Continuing throughout my whole life. I remember times where long before I came to know him that he was working in my life, and I recognized it after the fact, but back then I remember, and he just never quit.
Amen, brother.
He gave me every opportunity.
Amen, brother. I started calling you. Still believe somebody needs to do something. I don't want to stay here all day waiting on you to obey the Lord, and I'm just not trying to put a guilt trip on nobody. I'm just saying the Lord hadn't given us disconnecting liberty yet. Anything else before we leave? Alrighty. Don't be like me. There's been a few times I've been hard-headed, go home, say, I wish I'd have done that. Missed out on a blessing or
yes, sir.
Being a blessing to somebody else. All right, if everybody's heart's clear this morning, we'll dismiss in a word of prayer. Brother John, would you close in prayer, please, sir?
Thank you for the word you heard.